Hello.
Hello.
Yo.
Yo, indeed.
Indeed. So, in the week that police were called when a road was blocked by people dressed as traffic cones.
In a week where David Cameron photoshopped his poppy. I don't know if David Cameron actually did the photoshopping, but a giant poppy was photoshopped on his chest.
Yep.
And in Maryland, a military surveillance blimp escaped from its tether and flew all the way to Pennsylvania.
Wow.
Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania.
That's a long way from Maryland.
And in all those weeks, we bring you episode 2 of the Geekly Chronicles.
Episode
series 3. Yeah.
Actually, it seems like there's been a long gap between episodes this time.
Long couple of weeks.
It has.
I mean, the same gap, but a long gap.
Yeah, well, it's felt like a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, usually these weeks between episodes
just fly by.
But this time, it feels like ages since we were last here.
Yeah, I've missed you.
I've missed you guys too.
I've mostly missed the listeners.
Yes, I mean, you know, they're the reason we do this.
That's what I was talking about.
Yeah. I don't care about you. It's the listeners I'm talking about.
Speaking of listeners, we've got lots of lovely listeners already in the chat and on Twitter requesting things.
We have.
It's all rather exciting, really, and requesting actual songs.
Well, as opposed to last week where everyone just requested random things.
Yes.
Set
Geekly Bot on fire.
Yes.
Yes, our lovely show robot was unfortunately
incapacitated.
Very much so, yes. Dropped out of the server. The server needed to be restarted and everything.
Yes. It was fires had to be put out.
It was a big mess.
Yes, it was an incredibly big mess. But fortunately, we have fixed it all. We've glued everything back together, in some cases, literally, and everything's working.
We did actually buy a glue gun.
We did. Yes. It was exciting.
Sticky, I think is the word.
Quite an experience.
Definitely the word to use there, but no, it's it all works now.
It does.
Ish.
Yeah.
And,
sort of.
Yeah.
And we've got some really good stuff on the show tonight.
We do indeed.
I'm looking at this lovely schedule here in front of me.
I love the whole, we're being really careful not to like get paper rustling on the mic and then you're just there like.
I didn't hit the mic with it. I was doing it for effect.
Uh-huh.
So that people know we actually have show plans.
Uh-huh.
Or
you say show
of
plans.
Paper
we've got pieces of paper. Yeah.
My show plan just says Marzi's Bars, and I hadn't even seen that before right now. That's brilliant.
But we are
actually going to be talking a bit about Mars.
Yes, that must
be
what
that's
referring to.
That was only
because
we had rhyming notes on last week's show plan.
That's true.
Bouncy's pants.
We had to have it on this week as well.
Absolutely.
What else, Catherine? What else are we doing this week?
I can't remember.
You've got it in
We've
front of you.
We've got paper in front of us.
I know.
And we're
right
not
there.
Yes. Well,
we have our usual features of the Tumble Fumble.
Hooray.
The Game of Geeks. More news on our live show and our prize draw. I'm very careful about how I say drawer.
Drawer of drawers.
As in the thing you can put stuff in. As we discussed in the last show, we are putting all of the prizes
in an actual drawer.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Not only that, but we've got a great guest on this week. Jessica Rose will be talking about
About stuff. About tech and openness and equality and all of those things.
That's nice. That's a pretty cool thing to talk
about. She's into, which is great.
I'm happy with that stuff going on. Yes. We've got loads of stuff to talk about. Loads.
We do.
I've just seen more of the rhyming in the document. I quite like that.
to
start out with, we'll go with something that is going to be a kind of feel for the news to come. But you can get your requests in. I picked this first song, though. This is my request to me, so I'm dedicating this song to myself. But thank you for listening, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be here with you for a couple of hours of random geekage.
Indeed.
It's the Geekly Chronicles.
The Geekly Chronicles. Chat along with the show. Join the channel GKLY on Freenode IRC or hit the chat link on our website. It's where all the cool kids are.
Indeed it is. So Mars, then.
Mars, yeah. So Mars is really exciting.
Indeed. But why this time?
Well,
do tell.
Well, you know that I love space.
Yes.
And I love physics.
If there's nothing else that we've learned from doing Series 2 together, it's that.
So I love space. I love physics. Uh-huh. And stuff.
Yes, and stuff.
Oh, well, and
we're all big fans of stuff, to be fair.
But the really cool thing is that now that there have been so many missions to Mars and stuff, they've finally started to piece together a story about what has actually happened with Mars.
All right.
Because like it's a planet,
mm-hmm.
and everyone's always said it's a really similar planet to Earth, but it doesn't look like Earth. It doesn't have life or water. And why?
That is very true.
Why is it not Earth? Why can we not get
Mars? Why can we not? Why aren't there creatures on there that we can make friends with?
Well, yeah, and more importantly, why is the Earth not more like Mars? And is the Earth going to turn into Mars? Which I think are some of the important questions around, you know, the longevity of life on Earth.
Yes.
So they've NASA and the European Space Agency and various other space agencies from around the world have pulled all their resources together to finally come up with some answers to this, and
it's
brilliant. I was reading this paper that's been published, and it's, you know, they've already got funding now for more Mars missions to prove some more of this theory. But essentially, they think they now know what happened to Mars.
Ah, well, that's good. To know.
So basically, Mars and Earth were, other than Mars being a bit bigger, they were pretty much identical, right? Mars had an atmosphere that was very similar to ours. It had running water, and it probably had life as well.
Mm.
Running water? You mean they actually had plumbing?
Well,
swing and a miss there.
Uh-huh.
You got a degree in physics and no hope.
Yeah.
I've repressed it all.
Stay in school, kids.
But, I mean, they think that for the first few million years of Earth and Mars being planets, they were the same, essentially, very similar, and life could have started evolving on both.
Hmm.
The one big difference is that at some point, a few hundred million years into the planets being alive, being existing.
Yes.
The Earth, obviously, you know that the Earth's magnetic field is generated by our core rotating, blah, blah, blah. They think that Mars's core stalled.
Right.
And Mars lost its magnetic field. Now, Mars doesn't have a magnetic field today.
Mm.
And because Mars lost its magnetic field, they were saying that the theory is that the sun and the kind of coronal mass ejections and things like that, the radiation from the sun then stripped away the atmosphere. Now, we're protected from that happening to a large degree by our magnetic field. So they think that the Earth and Mars were very, very similar, but somehow the Earth kept its magnetic field and Mars didn't. Mars's magnetic field disappeared. And so the atmosphere was slowly eroded and it turned into the planet it is today, where if you introduced water on Mars right now, it would either boil or freeze solid straight away because there just isn't that atmosphere there.
Hmm.
So it's really, really interesting that actually Mars really did used to be like Earth, and it really was capable of supporting life. But just like the kind of, whenever you think about anything that has like alternate realities or anything in it, you know, there was something happened and one planet went one way and one planet went the other. And the planet that we happen to be sitting on now, or more rather stuck to the surface of as gravity sticks us to the ground, is the one that
might be the glue gun, to be fair.
Yeah. It's the one that maintained its magnetic field, and Mars sadly didn't, and became the very cold, very dry planet that it is today. And so I just think it's fascinating.
What I want to know is, how does a core of a planet stall? I mean, like, did it not pop its clutch down while it was spinning?
If you've
or
ever
whatever.
Seen my driving... But I mean, I don't know. And I think that's what they want to find out. They want to kind of get more detail into that. I think people were saying that, you know, I was reading some comments from people and they were saying, you know, do we try and crash a hole into the planet to see if we can get more information? And is there some way that we can do some imaging? Is there a way that we can tell, like, the measurements that we do on Earth? I mean, our, you know, we've never drilled down to the center of the Earth. We don't know.
True.
I mean, the deepest hole that humans have ever drilled in the Earth is still only a third of the depth of the crust. We haven't even got into the mantle or anything like that. So we really have no idea what it's like in there.
Mm.
But we have been able to take measurements and understand through the power of science.
Gotta love some of that science.
I love that science.
All-powerful science.
Indeed.
Indeed.
that. Sorry, yes. Just now. We seem to say the same things half the time.
We synchronized our indeeds.
Sorry, Chris.
Okay.
Is that anyway. Like synchronizing watches?
Synchronizing deeds.
Yes.
Indeed.
Yeah, almost exactly like that.
I'm a recruiter, so you say Indeed, and I just think of the job board. So
there's a job board called Indeed?
Yep, Indeed.
Oh, yes.
That's funny, because whenever I think there's monsters under the bed, I'm thinking about, you know, the job board too.
Mm-hmm. Do you know, the monster for the monster job board, its name is Trump.
Trump?
Yep.
And right. It's running for president.
I know, right? I think it's actually to do with the fact that its nose is like a little trumpet. Rather than any, you know, sinister presidential campaigns.
But that's coincidentally unfortunate.
Sinister presidential candidates.
Yes.
How did we get from Mars to Donald Trump so quickly?
It's just a thing that
and
this show
And yet we can't
does.
Get Donald Trump to Mars in the same amount of
no,
time.
No, it's
That
difficult.
Would be nice, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would
Deploy
give
the
America
Trump
a
cannon.
Break.
Yes.
Yes.
Deploy the Trump cannon.
Mm. That sounds
On
like
that
a great
note.
Plan.
Yeah, yes. Sorry, I'm there.
So we've had a lot of lovely requests in. We've had one here from Amy that says, I'm even lurking in your request queue. Hashtag Amy is Spynet. This is from... So I did some tweaks to Geeklybot the other day, and Amy was there and saw what I did and has been following me ever since, and I'm considering a restraining order.
Right.
So, yeah.
Well, I like the fact that I like the there, fact but... that our lovely little request thing that Geeklybot gives us now tells me when a track is explicit, so I don't yes. accidentally play it.
No, that is a mistake we have. Is that a mistake we've made before? It might have been.
Oh, it even tells me the length of the track now.
Crazy, right?
That's clever. And who requested it?
I wonder what magical person built this.
I love the fact that people are requesting Christmas songs.
Yeah,
because this
that's
gives me an opportunity to say. There is no way that we are playing Christmas songs before the 1st of December.
Yes, that's a very good rule.
You were saying
it's not
something
Christmas.
There.
No, I was going to say something later.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh.
You can say something
I was having
later.
A thought, an idea.
Ooh, okay.
Interesting.
Well, that's scary. On the scary,
really
scary idea of Catherine having a unique and individual thought, which
oh,
is...
Oh, it's not
which
unique is... or individual.
Oh, right. Then, okay, we were
it's
worried
entirely
for a
rehashed.
Oh, excellent. Good, good.
If you've ever met Catherine, you know she's the kind of person that you don't put a button in front of because it will catch fire very quickly.
Yes.
For some unknown reason.
She presently has no buttons in the studio.
We're considering
Although,
giving her a button.
Yeah, we have a plan to introduce one button to Catherine.
They let me have my laptop, yeah. but it's not connected to anything to
anything.
Do with the show.
No, it's in not fact, even plugged into the power right now.
No, in fact, it's in a Faraday cage. We just can't trust
No, don't
her.
Plug it in. Don't plug it in. It's all going to explode.
It's all going to go horribly wrong.
Oh, my God.
Yes, we're toying with the idea of giving Catherine one button that's not connected to any fire-making capabilities. But, you know, even so, we've got, like,
yes.
hazard suits and...
I get the most buttons. Kez yes. here with all the buttons. Chris there with some of the buttons.
Some of the buttons. Catherine with none of the buttons.
No of the buttons. And the yes. cats, and my cats are in the kitchen with food.
Although me and my lack of buttons has managed to order a curry.
So you've got
right.
good buttons.
You've got useful buttons.
So if the quality of the stream online degrades, that's because we're putting a particularly meaty Indian takeaway order through at the same time as
yes.
doing the show. Right. Well, that's good to know.
Yes.
So shall we play a request then?
I'm glad our infrastructure can cope with that. Yeah, let's play a song, shall we?
Play a song. Yeah.
Don't know about what, but apparently we do.
I was just marvelling at the fact that I managed to fix the jingles by turning it off and on again.
Excellent. I'm glad most of our studio kit can be pretty much just fixed by turning it all off and on again.
Should we try?
Just worry.
It's a bit like 15 to 1... if William G. Stewart had been drunk and only wearing his dressing gown.
Sounds about right, to be honest. So, that thing you said earlier about David Cameron. Do you wanna tell the story?
We're talking about the effigy here.
We're talking about... Well, I was talking about the giant photoshopped on Poppy.
Oh, yes. So, I mean, I saw a giant Poppy
double
on a roundabout.
Double David Cameron news.
There yeah. it is. Double camo.
Can we never
double
say
Dave?
That again?
Double Dave.
That's a terrifying prospect.
I've been commuting into Vauxhall Station in London recently, and every time I like get off the train and turn to go to in the following the way out signs, I pass the cover of that Call Me Dave book, you know, and it's like a big
oh,
poster
wow.
thing, and his like big, waxy, smug face looking at me every morning is not how I like waxy starting my smug. Day.
Waxy and smug.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Anyway, carry on. Shivering in disgust at the leader of our fair country here.
Yes.
But no.
This isn't the Vicar of Dibley.
I've gone a bit
similar words like that.
No. Yes.
So, this poppy situation.
He was photo. Yeah, so there was a picture of David Cameron on the 10 Downing Street Facebook page. As you know, I don't like the Downing Street Facebook page in Facebook terms. I don't like it in real terms. But
I can't say that I do either.
There was a profile picture of David Cameron on there, and it was replaced with a profile picture of David Cameron wearing a poppy.
Which makes sense, because it's November, right? So Remembrance Day is coming up. And in the UK, if you don't know, we do this thing with poppies on. I think it's true in a lot of countries, so you probably have. So if you were involved in the war, of course, if you're one of those ones sitting by and not getting involved.
Who was involved in the World War?
The World Wars, is it?
It's all wars.
Yeah.
If you're involved in a war.
Yeah.
If you're involved in conflict, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, most countries picked a poppy because poppies grew in the fields.
Are you done with the explaining now so I can carry on with my story?
Basically, go on, tell the story.
Thanks,
about
Chris.
The giant photoshopped poppy.
Now you've just given it all away. So basically, it was the profile picture it got changed to was the exact same photo of David Cameron, but with a poppy. And so either he'd posed for the same picture with and without a poppy, or, which is what actually happened, it was photoshopped on.
Yeah.
The biggest tell wasn't that it was the same picture. It was that poppy was about four times the size of a regular poppy.
Yes.
So not only did they Photoshop it, they Photoshopped it really badly.
Yes. I mean, first and foremost, it's kind of a bit disrespectful, don't you think, to Photoshop on a poppy.
Goes against the idea of wearing
giving,
a poppy.
Giving, the message that you can't be bothered to go and get a poppy, because they're everywhere.
Yeah.
I've been in a few shops today, and I haven't seen a shop where they haven't had poppies, so they're obviously readily available.
Lots of cadets and everything selling them outside every tube station in London, train stations all over the country.
Yeah.
At Heathrow, everywhere.
So, A, it's kind of disrespectful because you couldn't be bothered to go get one. But B, like, given the message that sends, who thought it would be a good idea? Who thought, I know, David Cameron's a busy man. He hasn't got time. He hasn't got the 5 minutes it will take him to put this poppy on and come out the front of 10 Downing. It didn't even have to be the same picture, but if they wanted it to be the same picture, come out the front of 10 Downing Street, put the poppy on, take the photo.
Well, so they've
How
replaced
long does that
it.
Take?
They've replaced the they replaced the picture after about 5 minutes once people started commenting on it.
Understandably,
with one of him from last year wearing a poppy. So there is now a picture of him really wearing a poppy.
An actual poppy. But even poppy. So,
I mean, he could have just taken a selfie.
He could have taken. Yeah. He would have been like the People's PM. Like
yes.
Dave, selfie Dave.
Call me Dave. Selfie Dave. People's PM.
Hashtag selfie Dave.
Hashtag selfie Dave. He could have done that. See, like, if we were David Cameron's marketing
we should be spin doctors.
Slap myself, really.
We should be spin doctors. We would be so good at it. Although we would probably slap ourselves. But
yes.
Or, you know, beat ourselves with our own selfie sticks.
Beat ourselves with our own selfie sticks. I like
yes.
That. But, it caused a lot of outrage. But the best thing, the absolute best thing has been the reaction on Twitter. Because not only did Twitter, was Twitter quick to outrage, which of course it should have been. But Twitter was brilliant in that suddenly a lot of other photoshops popping up as well. And we'll retweet some of these when we go to do the Tumble Fumble a bit later. But
so
people were someone photoshopped David Cameron's face on a giant poppy.
Yeah. I saw a lot of people saying, what if that had been Jeremy Corbyn? Think how the media would have reacted.
Oh, yeah.
So people photoshopped Jeremy Corbyn onto David Cameron's lapel where the poppy was. And similarly, giant poppies onto Jeremy Corbyn. There's one of him in the House of Commons doing PMQs with a massive poppy around his neck.
I also saw a great one where somebody photoshopped an entire suit of poppies for David Cameron. That was very good.
That was good. And there are a few others as well. There's Ed Miliband. You know the famous Ed Miliband bacon sandwich photo?
And there's one of him
that's
eating
been replaced,
a poppy.
Yeah,
yes.
With a poppy. There's Alex Salmond with a poppy when he, I think, visits a factory somewhere in Scotland. It's been replaced with a poppy. There's all sorts of
So there's lots of poppy finale going on the internet, which is great. But of course, it is a double Dave week. So not only was it poppy, but yesterday was November the 5th, which here in the UK we celebrate Bonfire Night or Guy Fawkes Night.
The time they tried to blow up the Houses of Parliament.
Yes, we celebrate somebody failing to blow up the Houses of Parliament.
By launching explosives into the sky.
Well, yeah, it was the gunpowder plot, right?
So it was. It makes sense.
The reason we do it is because gunpowder, you know,
bang, explosions.
And so we do it, and we light fires, and as terrible as it sounds, light fires and burn a representation of the guy. I mean, we burn a representation of Guy Fawkes, so we call it a guy, and we put this kind of figure on a fire and burn it. It's quite savage,
it's
really.
It's kind of weird, when you say it like that.
But the best thing is, people are able to make guys look like anything. And so there was a town. You're going to remind me the name of the town.
Uh-huh. The town was Lewes, near Brighton.
Lewes. The town was Lewes, and next to Morse. And what?
Nothing.
I thought it was
Carry
funny.
On. Uh-huh.
And they made several. They made a guy that was Sepp Blatter.
Yeah.
But instead of FIFA, they had replaced it with FIFA.
FIFA.
As in T-H-I-E-F, as in stealing the monies, which I thought was good. But the best one was that they created a guy to burn on a fire that was an effigy of David Cameron.
Yeah.
And it was David Cameron in nothing but Union Flag underwear with a pig on his lap.
Right.
Strategically placed pig.
And now this harps back, obviously, to a story that was in the book that you've been walking past all week, the Call Me Dave book, which was about David Cameron, where there was some news reported that he placed a part of his anatomy inside the mouth of a dead pig.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Yes. Probably worth noting, Call Me Dave, not an autobiography, have guessed.
So I just think it's brilliant that we live in a country where we are able to burn an effigy of our Prime Minister committing a cardinal act to a pig.
So,
and we're free to do that.
Yes. So there's a tradition that's kind of sprung up around Bonfire Night in this whole celebration of blowing up Parliament. Or not blowing up Parliament, rather. Which is the Million Mask March, where you probably know the Guy Fawkes mask, don't you? Of So the idea of these marches is people from all over the world put on Guy Fawkes masks and march on organisations they see as not acting in the public interest. So they march on governments. They march on public service broadcasters, for example. And that's been happening. So there have been a lot of protests. And I've also seen lots of effigies being carried along the streets of London and apparently of Lewes, of David Cameron in compromising positions with pigs, which has been amusing. But also there's a lot of kind of that talk about people losing faith with the organisations that are supposed to serve them, which is interesting, surrounding the whole Bonfire Night idea. I mean, the original plot was obviously because they were disillusioned with the government.
And now people are doing
the same
thing. Disillusioned with the government and FIFA.
And the BBC, some people.
The BBC and the NHS and all kinds of
various other organisations. Hopefully not blowing them up in quite the same way that that Guy Fawkes planned to, but there are marches happening around the world on Bonfire Night. There were, I remember seeing the reports of it happening in London. There were lots of fairly violent clashes, I think it's fair to say, between the protesters and the police. In fact, the police projected, using lasers, a message onto the National Gallery just to remind everyone about public order and that non-compliance will be prosecuted and things like that, which again has had mixed reactions. Some people think good job police keeping the peace, etc., but some people think, do they really need to be reminded? This is a freedom of speech thing. They're marching kind of to protest the existence of things, or rather the ways of things like the police and the government. This is kind of proving their point, some people would argue.
Well, it'd be interesting to hear what people think in the chat room as well, what people think on Twitter. So do get in touch and let us know your thoughts. You know, it's a really interesting topic of conversation, I think.
Yes.
Your tweets make us smile. Tweet us at GKLYCO and we might just love you forever.
Yep, so get tweeting, get on the chat room. Oh, we should probably think about another request now, shouldn't we?
Possibly. We have had a fair few, mainly from Amy and Misty, it has to be said.
I'm not going to play a request from either of them.
That's mean.
Well, no, not
kind of played, kind of fair because we
one
played
from Amy already.
Yeah,
and loads of people are there. Yeah. People are finding. Yeah.
So,
hey, Catherine. Yeah,
the most unpredictable part of every show. I what have you got for us this week?
Are you ready for a scroll in the hay?
Ooh, scroll in the hay.
I see.
Okay, so I've added an impromptu extra item to the telephone book because you just reminded me earlier in the show with a brief mention of Christmas,
which
obviously isn't really allowed because, well, you know, it's a bit early. So a really useful site for you to take a look at is canitalkaboutchristmasyet.com.
Canitalkaboutchristmasyet.com.
Really handy guide. Also, you know, send it to friends that get a little bit over-eager with their Christmasing.
Yeah. Does happen.
It's an informative website.
It certainly is.
Indeed.
All the information
it's
you need.
Very concise,
regarding
which is helpful.
Whether or not you can talk about Christmas yet.
Yes. It's it provides a very accurate summary, but doesn't like waffle on for ages, quite unlike this show, which is which is useful.
It does happen.
Indeed. Yeah. So that's that's your bonus fumble there.
Well, that's exciting.
Our bonus fumble is not being able to talk about Christmas yet.
Yes.
Which is true. And when are we able to talk about Christmas from?
Well,
when the website says so.
But you know, but, I mean, if it was up to me, you know, probably be something like, I don't know, November?
First? No, it's December the 1st.
I would say December the 1st.
December the 1st.
I'd say Christmas is a December thing.
December like, the 1st.
You've got Halloween in October.
I can start
you've
shopping
got
and
bonfire night
buying
in November.
Tree decorations before then, right?
Yes,
I just can't
talk
about
if
it.
If you talk about it, play a Christmas song, eat a mince pie before December the 1st, you are contributing to the capitalist downfall of Christmas and festivity.
I see.
I'm going to put the soapbox away now.
Right. Okay. Excellent.
What else are we fumbling?
Okay, so on Tumblr, we've got weirdcharityshopdonations.tumblr.com.
What?
Sorry, what?
Weird charity shop donations. All one word, no hyphens.
Well,
or
I'm imagining that pretty much does what it says on the tin.
Yeah, it's weird stuff seen in charity shops.
Right.
Okay, so can you give us an example?
It's mainly strange ornaments. So,
yeah,
like
those look pretty strange. To be fair,
large dancing cows.
Have we got a link up in the chat room or something?
The link has
rather
gone on
scrawny
Twitter
sailor
and is now in the
having
chat room.
A bath in some kind of tin bath contraption.
I've just opened it now. It's getting a bit weird.
Yeah, it is a bit weird.
It does.
Wow, is that a cow ballerina? It's a two-headed cow ballerina.
A little way down, if you scroll down, there's quite a scary-looking rabbit thing that I'm quite terrified of.
Is that the rabbit with the big open mouth?
Yeah.
That is scary. Is that meant to be like a jug or something?
You kind of hope so.
Yeah.
It's not just laid for an art piece.
Scary rabbit. Yeah. Gravy boat.
I very much hope it's for a purpose as opposed to a general like art piece.
Oh, and then there's a picture of a very muscly unicorn who looks like it's on the holodeck.
Yes.
there's a lot of very awful stuff on here.
So what we've learned is that people like to give really weird stuff to charity shops.
I suppose
makes sense.
There's a tie that has... Imagine a Tic Tac with a tail that could swim.
Kind of like a sperm.
Yeah, that's what I was going for.
Uh-huh.
There's basically a sperm tie.
Right. Okay.
I like to think of them as Tic Tacs with tails, though.
Because they give you minty fresh breath.
Okay, let's stop.
Moving on.
Why do we let you on?
Yes. This is why we shouldn't trust Catherine with buttons.
Oh, there's an inflatable crown of thorns. The Jesus hat kit. Relive the death of Christ. Fun for all. This is genuinely what it says on the front of it.
Who wouldn't want to take part in the The Jesus hat kit.
I just love the tagline. Relive the death of Christ. Yes. Fun for all. Doesn't include cross.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, that's their cross to bear then, isn't it?
Oh, really? Really?
Oh, a Heinz tomato ketchup sweater.
I love that.
You know, that's
I want
brilliant.
One.
I'd buy that.
I want one. Where can I get one? I'm going to look that up on eBay now. Misty M in the chat room says, oh my God, that unicorn.
Watermelon.
Yes. Yeah, this stuff is all a little bit odd. There's a cat octopus thing in a picture.
Very disturbing.
Wow, that child's jumper is interesting.
Oh, yeah, that's we can't really describe that on air.
No.
No, it's a bit odd. There's like a cat spider. That's a bit weird as well. Like an ornament. This is brilliant. I want to go to these charity shops. And buy these things.
Part of me thinks it's just one big charity shop where people kind of drop off their really weird things.
If we expand the size of the studio a bit, then I want to have windowsills dedicated to these ornaments.
Ooh, maybe we should troll some charity shops and find something seriously weird to put in the prize draw.
Oh, we that could would put be something weird from a charity shop in the prize draw.
Yes, we could.
That would be amazing. Mm. We need to do that.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So something creepy this way comes.
Yes. So what else have you got for us?
Okay, so the third and final item on the Tumble Fumble is a Twitter account, and it is for a boring tweeter. And that the Twitter handle is boring tweets, and that the O in boring is actually a zero.
I see.
So it's at boring tweets, where the O is a
zero.
Oh,
I've seen this Twitter account before.
I recommended this to you guys before.
I think this warrants this particular jingle.
Some sort of puce colour alert.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, it is very puce.
Mm.
Magnolia alert.
Or that. Kind of beige.
Yeah.
Beige
we
alert.
Don't have a beige alert.
Do we? Magnolia alert is probably closest.
Incontinent yellow alert.
That's just disturbing.
Yeah.
So, you know, what are the highlights from our friend, the boring tweeter?
Well, it does exactly what it says on the Magnolia paint tin, really.
I bet I hear some fireworks tonight, yesterday. I've just heard a firework, and then retweet if you can hear fireworks.
Yes. I love the summary of that is that I just heard a firework. It went bang. Yeah.
Right, this is great. This just happened. Classic banter. Me, what have you got in your sandwich? Colleague, ham, what have you got? Me, cheese.
Oh, great banter.
Ooh. Oh, classic top bants.
Yes, bants. Bants that can only be described as pants. Mm.
There's another one here. Retweet if you know someone called Craig.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to have to retweet that one.
All right, working on it.
A coffee table is not a table made out of coffee. Please retweet to raise awareness. Thank you.
Yeah.
It's almost the weekend. Here's a photo of a blank sheet of A4 paper.
Exciting.
Yeah.
Oh, a vine of someone shutting a door.
Crazy.
Retweet if you know someone called Chris.
Well, we know someone called Chris.
The craziest thing I've ever done is drink milk straight from the bottle. Looking back, it was off the rails.
Whoa.
Shepherd's pie is not a pie made out of shepherd's.
Oh my God, I'm retweeting so many of these.
I used to have my toaster setting as high as 5.5 once upon a time. Looking back, I was young and out of control.
Wow. Anyone that's not listening to the show but follows the Geekly Twitter account is just going to think we've gone really boring. And in a sense, they're right.
I missed a call on my phone earlier because it was on silent. I chuckled to myself when I saw that had happened. Best laugh in ages.
Crazy.
Yeah.
What's the best storage solution? They ask if their 256,000 followers.
Wow.
People just love boring.
Apparently so. Yeah.
I can't get enough of it.
I've just walked from somewhere to somewhere else.
I love this bit. This one with the picture of Jeremy Corbyn.
Yeah.
You really have to see this one. I want to know where he got this snazzy outfit from. Want. And, he's literally just wearing a sort of a grey shirt and a beige sort of anorak over the top.
I've just seen a van with the words clean me written in the dirt on it. It was brilliant and I laughed for about 6 minutes.
Yeah.
So I think you're getting the idea of
this is
of boring tweet.
Of the boringness.
Retweet if you're sitting down.
Where's that? We definitely are.
I like potatoes. They're very nice.
Mm. To be fair, I agree.
I wonder if they've seen that.
The potato song.
Website.
Oh, I think that was on your Tumble Fumble a few episodes ago. But
yeah, oh, it's still in history ago. Here.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's enough of that.
So, oh, yeah, dear. I think
we definitely need to not hear the potato song again.
Yeah, probably not.
Right.
That would be better. So.
We have fumbled.
We have fumbled. Yes.
Fumbled. Thank you
very much.
Very much, Catherine, for another great.
Hopefully, yes, you have been disturbed and bored.
Yes. As usually happens during the Tumble Fumble, to be fair. So
it does tend to, doesn't it?
I think you've pretty much achieved
all
your
the boxes
goals
this week.
Yes.
It's the Tumble Fumble.
It was.
Indeed, it was. So, you mentioned the prize draw. Should we have a chat about what's in the prize draw? Since there are things in the prize draw.
It is actually a draw. I keep wanting to point out that it is actually a draw.
Yes. There is a prize draw made of draw, like wood. And we're going to put all the prizes in it. So far, we've got the script for all of the jingles.
Signed by Hattie Hayridge,
yes.
I might add.
Signed by Hattie Hayridge.
So Hattie fans,
the voice
get
of
your
the
entries
jingles
in.
Or indeed Red Dwarf fans.
Yes. Do you want to give us a sample of some of the joys from the script?
Okay.
It's a bit like listening to a radio show run by three geeks who don't have anything better to do. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very true. We've also got...
Put your email in an envelope and just chuck it out the window.
Yeah.
That too.
To be fair. To be fair, most people do with emails these days.
Indeed.
We've got a signed copy of the album About the Walls by Irene and the Disappointments.
Yeah, who were lovely and came on our show last week.
Yeah, if you missed that, you can listen back.
Yes, definitely.
Shiny Mixed Cloud. Yeah, absolutely.
Indeed. Catch up on the website. But yeah, they joined us on episode one and we have a signed copy of their album to give away. We have, of course, the draw for it to go for it all to go in. But now we have some new prizes.
We do, Catherine.
Yeah, I have one of those power chargey thingamajigs for keeping your phone.
They're always good,
like an external battery.
Yeah,
nice.
It doesn't just do phones, obviously. You know, it could also do gaming machines and other things you need charging while you're out.
That's pretty wicked.
Mm-hmm. Various things, USB kettles, if you happen to have those.
It'd have to be a quite small kettle.
One might even say a tiny kettle.
Indeed.
We've got that to add to the prize draw, and we'll be adding more stuff to it as the series and indeed the show goes on, because something we're asking all our guests to do this series is drop a prize into the draw. So when Jess comes on a bit later, she can tell us all about what she's putting in the draw.
Yes, indeed. And we're really excited.
Yes.
Really excited.
Indeed we are.
And when can people win? Can people win the draw?
People can win the draw at the live final episode.
Woo!
So as we mentioned on the last episode, the previous episode, this is really semantically confusing. As we said on the previous episode, the final episode of this series will be a live stage show. So we'll be giving away the draw live during that.
In front of a studio audience.
Yes,
indeed.
We will be in front of an audience. We'll be drawing for the draw.
Drawing...
For the draw.
We're going to get really
confused.
We should
get confused. An artist in to draw the draw.
Draw the draw.
Fantastic.
We need to draw the draw.
Someone to draw the draw. Oh,
yes.
Wow.
That'd be amazing.
We're just adding levels of complication.
This is the most meta prize we've ever thought of giving away.
I'm incredibly confused.
should we play a song instead then?
Yeah, why not?
All right, well...
Before we do enter, because, you know, telling people how to do that might help.
Oh, yes. How to enter the draw.
Do
the draw
enter
for the drawn draw.
The draw for the drawn draw. And, in fact, the draw. we'll put the drawing of the draw in the draw.
And then we'll draw it.
And then we will draw for the draw.
We'll draw for the draw.
So if you're
the
not
draw
confused...
The draw for the draw, the drawing of the draw in the draw.
If you're not confused by all of this already, or if you are and you just want to see what it's about, you can enter at gkly.co/prizes. We figured probably best not put draw in the link because that would just get really confusing.
draw.gkly.co/draw/draw slash draw.
Maybe not. gkly.co/prizes. Leave us an email address and whatever you want us to call you in the show, your name, your IRC handle, your Twitter thing, whatever. And we will draw for the draw, and indeed the drawing of the draw in the final episode. Draw.
Which should be on February the 26th, I believe.
Yes, indeed. And you can get tickets for that also on the website.
Phoning is a thing, you know.
Maybe that, well, having that Jess nearly on the line worked. Thing was a fib.
I mean, yeah, when you put your thumbs up, I kind of figured that it was ready to go.
Well, try again, shall we?
Ooh, hello.
Okay. I'll turn that down while it's ringing.
Yeah.
We have plinky plonky noises.
Plinky plonky noises.
We have plinky plonky noises.
Apparently, according to Amy, my stalling is better than your stalling. So I'm,
well, that's just mean.
I'm better at just chatting about rubbish.
Hopefully all this stalling won't lead to a disruption of the Earth's magnetic
field. No, you'll turn it to Mars!
Oh, wow.
Oh, no!
Everything's about to get dry and cold.
Everything's about to get swifty.
Okay, then. Jess, do you hear us?
I can. Can you guys hear me all right?
We can.
Yes,
fantastic.
Hello.
Only,
excellent.
Like... 10 minutes late, and suddenly I've got it all working.
It wouldn't fine. This is one of the smoothest projects I've ever been attached to.
That's slightly depressing.
Yeah, well,
you can't see the face I'm making as I say that. It's fine.
Crossing all fingers and toes.
Works for us. Works for us. So, so Jess,
Christmas.
Yeah, I was really interested in what you guys were talking about, Bonfire Night a little bit earlier.
Hmm.
And I'm not British, but my partner is. And I used to love it because he would tell me about things that I'd never quite believe in. And I really firmly refused to believe in Bonfire Night for a long time.
Brilliant.
It's real. It's definitely real. Burning, burning effigies of David Cameron are evidence of that.
The burning effigies was what tripped me up, where I was willing to believe it all until then. I was like, oh, you know what? This guy tried to blow up Parliament. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have a holiday about it. I was like, okay.
We celebrate.
Where we burn effigies and there are fireworks. No.
Yeah.
Are you American originally?
I am, yeah.
So do you not have a Lee Harvey Oswald day then?
I really don't think we do. I think that it might be an especially niche holiday.
Yeah. Not the kind of things Americans celebrate then.
I guess maybe we're just a bit more tolerant.
Or maybe, you know, had it been more of a fail.
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
It would warrant a celebration.
Mm.
So a celebration of all of the people that have almost assassinated a president, but not quite.
Mm.
Mm.
No names spring to mind. I think Lee Harvey Oswald is the only name that sticks in my head.
There was actually a really good book a couple years back from, I don't remember the author, a woman who wrote Assassination Vacation, who traveled around to all of the different presidential assassination sites.
Well, not morbid at all.
It was quite clever.
That's a really interesting theme for a travel book. I mean, you've got to do something new then.
Absolutely.
Quite a bit cuter than I would have expected.
Hmm.
Well, it's always good to put a shiny, happy face on terrorism and assassination, isn't it?
Cute and assassination in the sense of reeling here.
Oh, wow.
It's like suddenly in my head now I've got images of the Care Bears and it's a bloodbath. It's terrible.
That's very disturbing.
My childhood is ruined.
No, I was a child in the 80s. That's pretty much how Care Bears was.
They cover with one side had Care Bears on it and the other side had little stars, and I was so terrified of the Care Bears that I always had to have the stars showing on the bed on the
but that meant the
cover.
Care Bears were right up against you.
Yeah, but I couldn't see them, so it was all cool.
True.
Now I had the Care Bears movie on tape. I taped it off the TV and my brother recorded over it.
Rude.
And I cried for weeks, and then I taped The Brave Little Toaster, which was a movie that I loved at the time
that
as well.
Brilliant.
Because I like bravery and I like toasters. Uh-huh. And he recorded over that as well. My brother's so mean. I've never forgiven him.
You've got to learn to start popping out the little tabs.
Well, yes. I mean, I don't really use videos anymore, but... We've digressed.
I can't think of a way to say this without sounding patronizing, but all of you are adorable.
I'm actually going to take that as a compliment.
Yeah. So.
Maybe we should let our guest speak.
Yes, shall we?
tell us more about what you do.
Unfortunately, right now I do a little bit too much. So I just started with a really cool company called Dream Factory that has an open source product that lets you sort of magically generate reusable REST APIs. I don't think magical is in the pitch anywhere, but it's easier than explaining how it works.
And so if we've got listeners that say don't know what an API is or aren't necessarily
software developers,
can you explain it in layman's terms to say, for example,
the word magic
Catherine?
Is acceptable, yes.
The word magic.
I mean, I have a vague idea what an API is.
I've tried quite a few times to think of a really good way to explain what APIs are. And usually I say, you've got a bunch of data, if you've got a lot of information, and you want to be able to share that with other people and let them use it. You're not just going to let them have the data. People are terrible. You can't trust people.
I know, right?
An API is sort of like a librarian desk that sits in front of that data. And it says, do you know what? Here are the types of data you're going to give out when you get these kinds of requests. So it's really just a sort of setup where users or people building on the data or people requesting the data can give a specific command. And the sort of API, the librarian, will go and get the appropriate data and pass it back without letting people rifle through all the cool stuff you have.
So I think the thing that's really interesting to me about this is that it's open source, right? I mean, you mentioned open source.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it's this kind of, I mean, it's one of those buzzwords that I think people that aren't necessarily into technology hear quite a lot, especially in this day and age, and the kind of stories that you get around security and things like that. And, you know, even the BBC, once I would class as a bastion of journalism, that now has tech reporting that belongs in tabloid newspapers. But everyone talks about open source, and not everyone, I think, really knows necessarily what it is and what it stands for. But I love it, absolutely love it. How would you kind of describe or kind of share your feelings around open source software?
So that's actually a really good point. I think something I've been getting really bad about is assuming that I'm always talking to a technical audience, and that's really unfair.
Well, especially
so
on this show.
Open source at the very, very base
we do
is
have
just
Catherine.
Saying that we've got that there's something that's been made where you can access all the code. You can access all of what makes up that project. But not just that, but you can go ahead and add your own. You can request a copy of it using version control, which is like a weird, complicated, I don't have a good librarian way to explain source control. It's magic.
Fair point.
Where you can go ahead and work on the project yourself. So it tends to be made up of volunteers, people who are just writing things for free and building beautiful things because they think they're beautiful, or useful things because they're useful. It's really confusing when you first get into the idea that programmers are going to build things for free. But once you get into a little bit, it's weirdly nice.
I think
it's often weirdly nice. It's sometimes just weirdly weird.
True. I've certainly seen a lot of weirdly weird software.
Yes.
Certainly in the internet age.
I've built a lot of weirdly weird software.
You have. Geeklybot being one of them.
Yes.
But I think it's what's really cool is that the world is starting to see that code is just a tool. It's like clay, right? You can make plates out of clay that are useful for people to eat, and you can sell those. You can make something beautiful that just sits on a shelf and provides pleasure by being there and being something that's kind of great and something nice for people to interact with. Mm. It's the same with code, right? Because you can create something that just you make and you sell that, or you can create something that is a base for other people to build on, or something that is just there for people to observe and see and be a part of.
Well, I think as well, when you're talking about programming, when you're talking about code, there's really this idea that for folks who aren't in technology, there's this idea that you're all in or all out, that either you're a master programmer or you're just not able to access these things.
Hmm.
But I really like a lot of open source projects. You can contribute to the documentation. So you can just help make the help files make a little bit more sense. If you're just learning to program, and I absolutely recommend it to adults as well. Like, if you want to see a little bit more about how the products you like work or how the web works, learn a little bit of it. It's not terribly difficult to get started. It gets harder as you go. But if you're working on learning a little bit of HTML, a little bit of JavaScript, and going into open source projects with friendly communities is a really great way to sort of get started and feel like you're contributing from the start.
So it's just kind of a really easy way to get into learning how to program then, by the sounds of things.
It's difficult because I think a lot of people maintaining open source projects have sort of business needs behind them or have limited time. So there's not always the space for true beginners, people who've just gotten started to get on board. It's a lazy cop-out, but I'll just say Googling for open source projects for beginners is a really good way to find those open source communities. They're a really good fit.
Now, I've tried lots of times to contribute to open source projects. I really have, because I think it's a fantastic thing to do. I'm not the world's greatest coder. I enjoy doing a bit of it. I've learned some of it, but I'm not brilliant at it. I mean, Chris is better than me at coding, and all of the stuff that he makes breaks. So it's, you know, it's my standards are fairly low.
But I make the stuff in the first place.
That's true. One of the things that always fascinated me was that there is an open source operating system or set of kind of distributions of an operating system out there. I'm talking, of course, about Linux, which is... Yeah. As I'm sure even non-technical people have heard of. And I used to love using Linux. It was a great alternative to Windows at a time where I was a student and being a little bit more altruistic and felt like having an open source operating system made me cool somehow. So I installed it and then I thought, oh, great, I'd love to contribute.
Green
and then,
alert.
Oh,
green.
Sorry, I randomly hit my iPad. and then I was completely put off by... Actually, the founder, the original creator of Linux, who was obviously part of this open source community of people that would contribute to the software and to the code, but would talk down and completely disrespect and really be very, very opinionated and sexist and very, very excluding of anyone that wasn't like him, and really... I guess for me, that really put me off of contributing to open source projects because it was the idea that all of the kind of playground bullying that I might have faced going into programming and not being very good, I was just getting through open source projects as well. I mean, is that a one kind of bad example or is this a problem? And if it is, are things being done to help that?
So I'm going to be very, very gentle because I don't want anybody to show up with pitchforks. but it's very, very, it's fairly common. It's not the first time I've heard that about open source, and it's not the first time I've heard that about Linux either. The difficulty is one of the difficulties are there's really an undercurrent of the idea throughout a lot of open source communities that it's completely meritocratic, that it's really just if you're good, you're here. If you have this skill, we'll welcome you. And I think it's a great goal, but I think the way that humans work, I think the way we form relationships and value others, and I think the way we look for talent in our peers, we're really better able to make connections with people who remind us of us. So I do see a lot of gatekeeping. I see quite a bit of sort of exclusionary activity around open source communities. And I like to think it's not malicious. I like to think it's just the nature of people to be a little bit clumsy. I think that we need to do a much better job of making things actually open and actually accessible and open source.
I mean, it seems to me that, you know, as with anything else, the social trends change, trends in the software communities change as well. So I think that people generally think that, there's less sexism in society now, so there must be less sexism in the tech industry. Oh, you know, gay people are more welcome at places like this now, and you know, it's they're more open, so therefore they must feel accepted at these events as well. And from my own personal experience, I know that that's really not the case. And certainly being someone who's kind of a non-binary gender as well, you kind of think, well, actually, there's not a whole bunch of inclusion out there for that kind of thing. And it can make people feel really uncomfortable. But I understand that you're actually working on something around that as well.
So I try not to big it up too much because really the co-founder does almost all of the work and she's brilliant. I started working with Transcode with Naomi Sater, who is the most brilliant human being I've ever met and, again, does almost all of the work. Maybe a year ago, and we've run two hack days focused on looking at issues touching on the transgender community with technology. So I've seen some really, really interesting projects come out of that. But almost more importantly, some really, really interesting sort of space for people within the community to come and hang out and be lovely.
Yeah, because that's a criticism that software generally gets, as well as in these kinds of marginalized groups within software, is that it's very kind of back bedroom. That certainly when teenagers get into programming, their parents think, yeah, oh, they're just spending all the time in their bedrooms. But that's not the case. There are all these events, aren't there, where you can come together and work as a team.
Well, I think the idea that it's just antisocial activity is, A, not really fair to nerds who are out there now. Like, we do lots of cool stuff. We meet lots of cool people. But I think presenting it like that adds an extra barrier. It really keeps people who want to be a part of a community from getting into technology, which is it's a bit unfair.
Yeah.
And I love going to events generally and things like that. I was actually out, I was out in Dublin this week at the Dublin Web Summit, which was a really interesting place to be because there are, well, it was about 38, 39,000 attendees, and the whole place is like a meat factory for people who are a bit techie and maybe a bit entrepreneurial. And what I found completely horrified me. Not only were there a bunch of kind of quote-unquote startup companies there who were essentially churning out really quite excluding ideas. Like there was one particular app that was a secret photo sharing app where you could walk around with your phone and it wouldn't show anything on the screen, so you could get away with taking photos of people without them knowing and sharing it to this social network, which was just terrible.
I'm not a lawyer, so this shouldn't be legal advice, but isn't that illegal?
Well, it is in some countries and not in others, and this was a global technology show. But I was also talking to three people who had just graduated from university and had been kind of talked into joining this company. And they weren't, none of them were the founder or the co-founder or anything like that. So there was a founder and then these three people. And these three people did all of the work, contributed all of their ideas. But when I talked to them about it, they said, oh yeah, we did all of that in exchange for 1% of stock options in the company. And what that actually boils down to is that 15% of the company would be options and they own 1% out of that 15% of the company. So like 0.5% or whatever. So yeah, I mean, there are events that not only people are feel excluded from, but also that people are exploited at, and that's not cool.
I think those are two separate issues that feed into each other a lot. So I've gone on a bunch of rants. Like, I love startups. I love the idea of making your own thing. But I think the way we've structured the startup economy just really doesn't work very well. So I think right now in tech, we really tell everybody that they deserve to have the next million, the next billion-dollar idea. So we tell everybody they can be the next Twitter. We tell everyone they can be the next Facebook. So people are really building things to scale and sell often.
In fact, like, it's a joke, isn't it, that when a new product is launched, it's like Uber for this,
or
it's like Facebook for, yeah,
it's like Netflix for puppies.
Yes, or something. Yeah, exactly. It's like Uber for pizza, which people didn't realize they already do.
For light bulbs, Tinder for babies.
Yeah.
Tinder for babies. I can think of nothing more horrific.
No. So that's kind of what you're talking about, isn't it? That
well, I think the funding structures do that as well. So we've got funding coming in where you just give out masses of money in a way that seems almost random, and you just let, so the success rate, the number of companies that go massive, are in the single digits. I think because we've got so many people and so much energy essentially being wasted in this giant, complicated, exhausting lottery game, it seems so pointless. I think you've got 100 different companies all trying to make it big. You get money given out to half of them. Two of them survive. But what you've lost is not just money. I don't think it's disrespectful. I do think it's disrespectful to just be passing out cash like that. But also the opportunity to use that labor to make things that were useful for people. You're not seeing people building startups to make enough money to take care of them and their family. You're seeing people try and make the next big thing. I think it really discourages people from having a better connection, a better sort of link to ownership with the things they care about.
So a lot of people listening kind of live and will be listening back on the stream afterwards, you know, a lot of these people maybe have ideas and kind of entrepreneurial feelings or want to be a developer or something like that. Do you have any kind of whatever stage of life they're in, do you have any kind of advice from your experience and knowledge that you've gained so far? What would your top piece of advice be?
I think it's that if I would say to go ahead and try it, but not to think that you're the next Zuckerberg. I'd say to get involved with technology for reasons that make a lot of sense to you personally. I do a lot of counseling for adults who want to pivot into technology. I think a lot of times people think that you need to have this unique passion, that you need to get into tech because it's the one thing you need to do. But getting into tech because the money's a bit better or because the hours are more flexible are completely valid reasons to get involved. I'd say look at it. Look at the whole of the culture. Look at the whole of the things that are out there. And try it out. See if it matters to you. You don't have to create a startup and quit your job tomorrow, but you can explore your ideas and see whether or not making something beautiful and useful is something that could work for you.
Hmm. Well, thank you for your advice. Now, the prize draw. It is actually a draw. We teased earlier in the show that you were going to drop something into our prize draw for us. So could you tell us a bit about what it is?
Yeah, I'm sorry to be a bit goofy and give you guys swag, but have you seen the little tiles?
Are they the things that you attach to your keys?
Yes. There's this little tiny internet-connected things, the whole Internet of Things things. They're little tiny plastic tabs that you can put on anything and then be able to track it down afterwards. So I've got some on my keys and also my notebook. It's just a really great way. So instead of scrabbling around your flat trying to find where is this, where is that, you can just go to your phone or go to your computer and see that you did indeed manage to hide them behind the toilet.
So if, for example, I have lost my Geekly co-hosts, I could put a tag on them and then find them.
I would not encourage you to stalk your lovely co-hosts. Tipping this into the prize draw with the condition that it's not used for anything creepy or nefarious.
That's a good condition, I think.
Like that.
I can put that on the website.
Yes.
Like a tile,
yeah,
but
I'm
do not use
that
it for...
as a little footnote to all of my projects. Be like, hey, here's a thing. Don't do it if you're creepy.
Yeah, don't be creepy with it. Yeah. No, that's a good attitude to have. So the tile is going in our lovely drawer of prizes that will be given away in the final show.
When can I get that to you guys?
We will sort something out. And we will definitely have it sorted by the time we give away the draw.
Excellent. I'll probably bring you all some silly novelty chocolate from Japan as well then.
Oh, lovely. Thank you. Thank you very much for joining us, Jess. It's been a pleasure speaking to you.
It's been absolutely delightful. Thank you so much for having me.
Amy says in the chat room that she wanted to tag me because, as discussed, she's stalking me, which is excellent. So, thank you very much. Now we'll play a song.
The Geekly Chronicles. It's like Britney Spears, only good.
Now for the sticking forecast issued by the Geekly Chronicles on behalf of Pritstick at 1900. The general summary this evening. Velcro, fluffy and rough, 4 or 5, alternating between stuck and unstuck. Glue, smeared and dried, 5. Labels, printed and mailed, 3. On a jar, 7. Sellotape, 4. Parcel tape, 4 or 5. Duct tape, 14. Excessive force warning. Superglue, 6. 7 on fingers later. Epoxy, 8. Possibly 9 later. Children's fingers, 3. Possibly 8 after dinner time. Soap later, good. Blu-tack, 5. 2 on posters after sunset. Sugar, 4. 5 later with ants. Electrical tape, 10. 3 when needed. Leg wax, 9. Brazilian later. Band-aids, 1 in swimming pools, 4,000 with hair. Moderate pain later. Occasionally very poor. And thus concludes the sticking forecast.
You know those party games that everyone thinks are still fun when you're sober, but really aren't? It's time for Would You Rather.
It is indeed. And this week is another one of Catherine's questions, which we'd like to get your opinion on.
This was a questionable one of sorts, I think.
Yes. So, would you rather find yourself in the body of Michael Flatley? Stick with it.
Okay.
It gets weirder. Or permanently be doing the river dance.
Now, Michael Flatley is the river dance person, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a kind of came to fame around 1994 at the Eurovision Song Contest, where sort of the kind of halftime entertainment was this, at the time, really amazing new sight of, quite extreme Irish dancing.
Extreme Irish dancing. So either you're an extreme Irish dancer or you're Michael Flatley.
Yeah. Who is himself an extreme Irish dancer.
But you wouldn't necessarily know how to do the dance.
You wouldn't know how to do it. You would have a body capable of doing it, but wouldn't necessarily be doing it in everyday life.
You would be a 57-year-old
Let me just Google a picture of Michael Flatley here. Okay. So suddenly the river dance option is looking good. What happens when you need to pee?
Well, I imagine I would sort of turn my bathroom into a wet room
just hose it down.
The walls with plastic.
Hose it down every time.
Like a Dexter crime scene.
Yeah.
So how can people vote on this?
As we were saying, we'd love to hear which one you'd prefer. We've already had a vote for Michael Flatley. Go to gkly.co/WYR.
Would you rather?
Which stands for Would You Rather. And cast your vote whether you'd rather be Michael Flatley, or rather be in Michael Flatley's body. You'd still be you, but in Michael Flatley's body, not necessarily river dancing, or always doing the river dance.
But you're still you.
But you get to keep your own body.
I think you'd get to go to sleep.
Yeah.
You know, but like the moment you woke up
you'd
in the morning, you'd be like, oh my goodness.
Not going to be like when a dog's asleep and dreaming of running and
its leg kind of twitches.
So you're going to be like, you're going to kick anyone
twitch
that's in bed
river
with you.
Dancing, yeah.
Witcher dancing.
Oh, wow.
So please vote on that. We'll come back to you a bit later on in the show. But now, excitingly...
Now, for this week's Game of Geeks.
Say that again.
Now, for this week's Game of Geeks.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Back to Game of Geeks.
Oh.
I am your quizmaster this evening.
Indeed.
Okay.
So for anyone that wasn't with us on the last episode, you just want to go through how this is supposed to work?
Yeah. So I've got clues in front of me to movies in the IMDb top 250 movies, according to user ratings. Mm. And so I've been making up clues, 3 for each movie. And I'm going to read them out. And Chris and Kez can buzz in. So Chris goes.
Oh, where's my buzzer?
Or Chris will go.
Okay, what's that meant to be?
What is that?
That's a tiny goat who's very inquisitive and is making this noise.
What? What?
Like a little sort of quacky noise.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Kez goes...
Okay.
It's more like a honky laugh.
What's that meant to be?
That's a penguin.
Really? So that...
That's actually a penguin.
Is that a laughing penguin or just a penguin?
It's a penguin making noise, but I don't know if it's laughter, pain,
hunger.
It's a mystery.
Now, who won last week?
So, Chris won last week. So, Chris is currently leading 1-0.
Okay. Kez, head in the game. Head in the game, Kez.
Yeah,
come on.
To even the score. So, obviously, with 3 clues per film, if you answer on the first clue, you're obviously some kind of movie-watching, ninja or something.
Or I can get a really complex... Thick of it reference.
Yeah,
as we
or a really complex thick of it reference. I have tailored these clues for my co-hosts.
Brilliant. Both of us. How does that work?
If you get the clue, the movie on the first clue, you get 3 points. The second clue, you get 2 points. The third clue, you only get 1 point.
Right.
So, okay. Are you guys ready for your first movie?
Yep. My finger is on my buzzer.
Excellent. Fingers on buzzers for 3 points. A man has recently paid £3,000 to screen this film in a cinema in Bournemouth, where it was banned 35 years ago.
Ooh. I did hear about this, but no name is coming to mind.
Yeah, it's one of those things you've either seen the news or not. Yeah. Okay. Shall we move on to clue number 2?
Please do.
Okay, mm-hmm. So for 2 points, the 6 main cast members in this movie each play multiple characters.
Ooh. 6 main cast members, multiple characters.
Oh,
there's a penguin.
I think that was Kez.
It's not being John Malkovich, is it?
Nope.
Okay.
Okay, so are we ready for clue number 3 for 1 point?
Go on.
This film is the origin of the song Always Look on the Bright Side of Life.
Oh, my buzzer wasn't quick enough.
Monty Python's Flying Circus.
No.
Oh,
no. Honky Penguin gets in first. Again.
The Holy Grail. No. Oh, what's the other one?
Life of Brian.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was a stroke of luck.
Now
did
I'm annoyed.
Did the buzzer work?
I don't think my buzzer is loud enough. Have you turned me down?
No, you're nice and loud over here. Try it
now. Can we just do a buzzer test?
That's quite loud.
There we go.
Okay, good. Right, okay, well, we're giving Chris 1 point there. Although lots of excellent Monty Python guessing from Kez. Okay, moving on to our next movie for 3 points. This movie's famous piano player, portrayed by actor Dooley Wilson, could not actually play the piano. Kez?
What's that one about the piano player that was like a prodigy, like a gifted it was like it's like the Goodwill Hunting of piano playing.
That's not the title of a movie.
No.
The Goodwill Hunting of piano playing.
No, I can't.
Although I'd like to make that movie now.
Next clue.
Now you've said it.
Next clue.
Okay. The line, "Here's looking at you, kid," was from this film, was voted as one of the top 100 movie quotes by the American Film Institute. Honky Penguin again.
With Casablanca.
Yes.
Hey, woohoo!
Which gives 2 points to Kez and robs me of a very cool clue, which was clue number 3, which I'm going to read out anyway, just because I think it's cool. And my third clue was, this movie was parodied at the end of the Red Dwarf episode, Camille.
Oh, yes. I watched that recently.
Which hopefully would have given it away if you hadn't got it already.
Well,
right. Maybe not today. Maybe not tomorrow. Anyway.
Anyway, yes. Movie number 3. Okay, clue number 1 for 3 points. Fingers on buzzers. Most of the characters in this movie are named after colours.
Reservoir Dogs.
Oh my goodness, yes.
Yes!
Oh!
Bow, 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 bow,
3 points for Kez.
Oh, yeah.
Taking Kez into the lead with 5 whole points against Chris's 1.
Okay.
I've got to win multiple clues.
Yes, you do.
This is going to be...
Okay. Let's go for movie number 4. This 1999 movie features a cameo by Meatloaf.
Oh, God.
I know this. Mm. I know this. I've seen it. Because there's the... Oh.
The loaf and it's meaty.
It rings... Oh, no.
Yes. A cameo by Meatloaf or a cameo by a Meatloaf? Can we just clear that up?
I think next clue time, I think.
Okay. So clue number 2 for 2 points. Brad Pitt and Helena Bonham Carter spent 3 days recording orgasmic sounds for their unseen sex scenes. Honky Penguin.
Oh no. I was going to say When Harry Met Sally, but it's not that, is it?
No, it's not that.
Darn.
Oh, darn, God.
Oh, that's something different. Okay. Clue number 3 for just 1 point.
Come
the
on,
promotional material
back.
For this movie included its title carved into a bar of soap. Oh, Chris.
Fight Club.
Yes.
Yes, there we go.
Taking your total up to a whole 2 points.
Yeah. Clawing defeat from the jaws of victory.
Yeah. Okay. Right. So let's go on for another film.
Is this the last one of the day?
This is going to be the last one.
Okay.
Yeah. So clue number 1 for 3 Ooh. Points. This could take us to a tiebreaker if Chris Ooh. Gets it on the first clue.
Oh, that's exciting.
This was the second movie featuring Bernard Hill to win 11 Academy Awards. The first was Titanic.
Who? Okay.
So, so if you know which movies have won 11 Academy Awards, you might get it.
I do not.
Okay. Clue number two for 2 points.
Trivia I do know. Mm-hmm. So.
Just for, I suppose, kudos for Chris. Yes. Rather than winning.
Make me look less rubbish.
A newspaper classified ad for several thousand horsemen appeared. A newspaper classified ad called for several thousand horsemen to appear in this movie.
Several thousand horsemen.
Yeah. Several thousand horsemen to appear in the movie.
Gosh, I don't know.
No?
Films with lots of horses.
All the horses.
Humpty Dumpty the movie.
No, although I would totally watch that.
Me too. All right,
okay,
last clue,
right,
I guess.
Last clue for just the 1 point. Viggo Mortensen starred as the titular character in this movie.
As the what?
As the person this film mentions in its title.
Oh. Who?
Okay, there we go. That was a big non-event on film number five.
Any guesses there, Chris?
Oh, he's that guy.
Just make up a film with horses
that was
in
the film.
Well, thousands of anything in a film, and you might get it.
Thousands of... I'm drawing a blank. I'm drawing
right.
a blank.
It was Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King.
It was...
What?
Because he...
I was thinking this was going to be really obscure.
Oh, no. Because he's the...
So hang on a second.
Films that win 11 Academy Awards and are on the top 250 IMDb are not really obscure.
No, but you said that character was... So was it the king or was it the Lord of the Ring? That there was.
Well,
the...
it was the king. He was the king.
Okay. Do we ever find out who the Lord of the Ring is?
I don't know. I'm not really a Lord of the Rings nerd. If anyone is, please let us know.
So this week,
Kez
has
5 points and Chris has 2 points.
Which means...
This week's winner is... Kez.
Never have we shied away from using a jingle when none was necessary. Also gave Kez a perfect opportunity to make very rude gestures at me from over the table, which is always greatly appreciated.
I was just reciprocating the gestures from last week.
That is as maybe. However, that makes it 1-1.
It does. So thank you, Catherine, for another great week of Game of Geeks. Don't forget to vote on Would You Rather. We'll be talking about that after the next song. Mm.
It's the Geekly Chronicles. Captain Kirk is making a podcast. Why is he making a podcast?
I want a dishwasher.
It wouldn't fit in the drawer.
No, that's very true. That is true.
Unless we get a bigger drawer.
That request there from Misty. We've also had requests tonight from Penman. We've had requests tonight from Amy. We've had requests tonight from Jake. Jake requested a song earlier too. So thank you everyone for your requests this evening.
Yes.
It's been very nice to play them all.
Been fun.
Now, we were talking about our Would You Rather before, weren't we?
We were indeed.
And certainly going through my head this week were many other Would You Rathers, like would you rather be David Cameron or would you rather be the pig?
Mm.
Depends on the pig.
How fast it could run.
Yeah. Shall we have a
look at how the votes are going.
The results.
So what made you think of Michael Flatley?
I have no idea.
This is just a thing that happens sometimes, is it?
I don't know. We were eating pizza at lunchtime and
you just thought
Michael Flatley.
It was you. It was you.
I
have no idea how that came up at all.
You had Michael Flatley on the brain. You got Flatley brain. Flathead.
Yeah.
Right.
Anyway.
So let's have a look. Ooh, in the last 12 seconds, the vote has changed. And now...
So I think I'm just going to take a look at the...
Well, it's a third and two...
It's pretty much a third and two-thirds. But yeah, 1/3 of our votes are for permanently doing the river dance. And the 2/3 majority of the votes currently are for finding yourself in the body of Michael Flatley.
So you would rather be a 57-year-old, vaguely... weird looking person than do the river dance constantly.
Because I mean, Michael Flatley could seriously, you know, shorten your life expectancy.
Well, yeah, and, you know, for me, constantly doing the river dance would get me pretty fit pretty quickly. It'd be exhausting.
Doing the river dance might actually extend your life.
Yeah.
Possibly.
I mean, you're...
Unless it killed you first.
Your life would be forever doing the river dance.
You'd have to figure out, you know, how many billion calories you needed to eat to be able to do the river dance 24-7.
Think of the sandwiches I could eat.
Now there's an idea.
You'd also have to eat foods that, you know, weren't easily spillable. You'd probably have to give up spaghetti
and soup.
Yeah, but sandwiches would be fine.
Sandwiches would be fine, yeah.
And you can put anything in a sandwich. Yeah. I've had a spaghetti sandwich before and it was the most amazing thing I've ever eaten.
So you could eat anything as long as you put it between a couple of pieces of bread.
I suddenly really want a spaghetti sandwich. I don't even think I've got spaghetti, but I'm thinking there is a 24-hour Tesco about 20 minutes away.
Yeah, so I think we've decided on our post-show snacks.
So in about
4 hours, follow me on Twitter and see me buy spaghetti from a 24-hour Tesco.
Yep.
It will happen. So it seems you have voted. You would rather be in the body of Michael Flatley than doing the river dance permanently. I can't say I agree with you, but...
But that is the decision you as the audience have made.
And we now require one of you to be a volunteer to make this happen.
We're now going
to
enforce that.
If you voted, you will now be assigned your appropriate vote choice.
Yep. You do know that's how it works. We did tell them that, didn't we?
What, that everything that they vote for in Would You Rather comes true?
Yeah. It's because...
How are those tongue fingers working out for you?
Oh, you know those...
Now I have to be Michael Flatley with tongue fingers.
Michael Flatley with fingers for tongues.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've got fingers for tongues, but now I have to constantly do the river dance.
Yes. No, it's because like we gave away those little tiles to all of the people that voted, so we can now track them down and
this
like
is gonna
put
make
them.
Taking the tube even worse.
Yeah. Sorry. Excuse me. Sorry.
Oh God, I don't even want to imagine the injury you would cause.
No,
permanently doing the river dance. But there we go.
Just licking everyone inside.
I know. Did you say licking or kicking?
Licking.
Because
you also have...
Because you've got the tongue fingers. Yes.
Oh, dear.
Yes. One of us will have to have all of the losing Would You Rathers and one the winner, which is just going to...
That's going
just
to be
gonna horrify
very,
everyone.
Very sad. Well, anyway, we're getting towards the end of the show. We've got one more song to play for you all. And then we'll kind of recap. We'll talk more about the live show. We'll take more of your kind of chatterings from Twitter and from the chat room. But first off, if you've seen Reservoir Dogs, you know that this is possibly one of the best songs in the world. If you haven't seen Reservoir Dogs, I strongly suggest you get it on your watch list.
You're listening to the Geekly Chronicles. It's like family fortune.
You know, we played that one already, didn't we? Oh, this one will be good. Let's do this one.
It's like the Go Compare guy, only less annoying and more tuneful.
You just create work for me when you say these things.
Right. What else do I need to say in my wrap-up of Wonder? I haven't done this before.
I don't know. If I told you, surely that would defeat the point of you doing the...
I'll just keep talking. I'm eating sweets over here.
All right, okay.
do you want a hand?
Yeah.
With the wrap-up? Yes. Well, you've pretty much covered it. Get tickets for the live show, enter the prize draw. And we will be back on the 20th of November, which is in 2 weeks' time. At the usual 7 o'clock in the UK, or whatever time that translates to in wherever you happen to be in the world.
Oh, indeed. It's been a pleasure. We all absolutely love doing this show.
Thanks for sending in your requests, your tweets, your messages.
Huge thanks to Jess for coming on as a guest tonight.
Yes.
Very interesting and insightful.
Mm. Yeah, and thank you for adding wonderful prizes to the prize draw.
To the prize draw, yes. It's been a pretty good show, all in all.
It has. So, from me, Kez.
From me, Chris.
And from me, Catherine.
Goodbye, good night, and
see you on the 20th.
You've been listening to the Geekly Chronicles. Content was researched and vaguely fudged together by Chris, Catherine and Kez, who are also your hosts for this evening's show. The Geekly Chronicles is an independent production. Any reference to any persons or things, living or dead, was probably an error. What is reality anyway? Don't take the blue pill, live long and prosper. Wear sunscreen.